One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Episode 25. This episode is all about how I fell in love with storytelling. And this happened at the University of Washington in my Physics 101 class that I took my junior year. Now, who doesn't love a good story? Most people love stories. And I believe as children we learn that quality, but there's some naturalness to it. Of course, across all of time, long before about, I don't know, when we could write things down, most things were told in the form of a story. The whole oral tradition, the quality of speaking, things of that nature. So on some level, it could be innate. It could be something that we're slightly programmed to appreciate. But I think a lot of it comes from just story time at night. I mean, kids just love when their parents read them stories, and they look so forward to it, especially in that time when they're just about able to read and they can get in bed and they see all that great stuff and it's just really cool. It's just, it's very special. And I know this well because I have read to children at night. I was a stand-in parent for some friends of mine, and their little daughter, I think at the time she was 4, she asked me to read her a bedtime story. She picked the book. We got ready. Next thing you know, I'm reading, and she loved it. I mean, I was a little stunned at how much she was into it. And that made me into it. And it just, I learned something there. You know, sometimes you can learn some really great stuff just from very simple experiences. Now, personally, I don't have a lot of experience as a child being read to, and partly because I don't really remember my parents doing it that much. I was born and raised on science fiction, superheroes, cheesy kung fu movies, and television. Basically, I mean, I was born and raised on television. However, my father worked nights, and it just simply was a practice my mom didn't do very much. So I don't have that experience, but I've seen it. I'm aware of it. I know it. And for whatever reason, I simply love to listen to stories. This podcast, the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast, is as it says. This is a podcast about telling stories. Mostly they're my stories because I have a great love of telling stories. And then living life with one hand is just very fertile ground for having a lot of great experiences in life. Yes, some of them not great, but the majority of them are really hilarious and very beneficial and worth sharing. A lot of great little tidbits to take out from that. But also, my podcast will be growing and evolving into understanding what it means to tell a story, what are the attributes of a good story, how do you become a better storyteller, tutorials, so to speak, story time on telling stories. And then I'm going to be doing some interviews along the way, because that's a real big podcasting feature, with great storytellers of all types. And I got a cool list. I'm going to ask Natty Roots to come in, and I got a good friend named Joaquin, who's a real, just a phenomenal spoken word artist. So is Natty Roots. I want to get them. And Tim Stanford, this guy tells great stories. So I want to do all that. I just want to help people learn to be better storytellers. And part of that, in my opinion, has to do with understanding when was the first moment that we fell in love with storytelling. beyond just growing up listening to stories or anything like that. And it's not just a moment. It could be an experience, or it could be a story, or it could be a time frame where we just fell in love with stories, which inspired us to become storytellers, or supporting storytellers, or whatever. Could be into books or reading or anything along those lines. But I feel that if we can better understand that critical moment when we really realize the power and impact of storytelling, we can help share our own stories. And each one of us has different qualities as humans, and why we tell stories or how we tell stories. And if you are a professional storyteller, for whatever that means, there's probably a critical moment for you that made you love storytelling or want to be a storyteller or a professional speaker or a spoken word artist or a singer. All of those, for me, are very similar qualities of telling stories. And we each came to it for different reasons. And understanding those reasons, I believe, help us share our own stories. And what I would like to do is share with you the reason why I love stories and was inspired to tell stories and eventually became a professional speaker and podcaster and wannabe superhero. I first realized I had an ability to speak well in high school, in my high school speech class. For whatever reason, I realized that I had a good quality for speaking, giving speeches, or just being in front of people speaking. However, that didn't really unfold for a very, very, very long time. But it wasn't until I was a freshman in college at the University of Washington that I actually realized the power and impact that a story can do for people, how it connects people, how it can benefit people, how it, well, potentially changes people's lives. And all of this happened in my Physics 101 class that I took my junior year in college, but it was my first semester at the University of Washington. I grew up in Indiana. I attended Indiana University. And then after 3 years, I transferred to the University of Washington. And my first semester, it wasn't semester, it was the quarter program. My first quarter at the University of Washington, I took a Physics 101 class. And it was in this class, and it was because of this teacher. It's so odd. Physics 101 gave me my love and understanding of storytelling. But it was really this teacher and what he did for this entire quarter in college. And I look back on it now, and it's these qualities that I embody, that I lean on, that I look at when it comes to storytelling. Physics 101 at the University of Washington is a very large class, 700, 800, 900 people. I mean, it was simply gigantic. And of course, there are many physics teachers teaching physics. Some people are looking for certain teachers. They heard things about friends, but I just lottery picked. I just took a class that wasn't too early, and there I was. I had class 3 days a week, and my teacher was this Russian professor who defected to the United States after attending college in Russia and coming up a little bit in the university systems in Russia. And then he simply bailed. He's like, I got to get out at that time. And he came, he found his way to the United States, and he is now, at that time, a physics professor at the University of Washington. And he spoke good English, but he had a strong accent. It wasn't anything out of hand, but it was noticeably foreign. And of course, because I knew he was Russian, it was noticeably Russian. And he had an interesting stutter that would arise when he tried to say words that started with D. It's really interesting. It was a simple quality of who he was and how he spoke, and those things actually added to his, well, storytelling quality, which is such an interesting thing in a physics class, because this guy was actually a high-end physicist. Why he was teaching 101, I'm not quite sure, but he spoke about this equation that he came up with way back in the day that is a very prominent equation, and he's got a symbol for it and talks about it and how in the higher end of physics, for whatever that means, that people use his equation a lot. And then he just kind of mentioned, he's like, but nobody knows me. Everybody knows Einstein, but nobody knows me. And we all just laughed, because at that time, I think that was somewhere in the middle of the quarter, and we all got used to this quality of his storytelling. Now, let me share with you this. My first day in class, he just immediately started getting into physics. Just basic stair step and talking about basic stuff. And then, you know, classes, I believe, were like 50 minutes, 55 minutes at that time. Or at least that was what was scheduled. So we got in, we sat down, he started teaching. And then about 20 minutes, about halfway into the class, 20, 25 minutes, he put down his piece of chalk. He paused. And then he walked around this giant desk. I mean, they had a giant long table desk in this auditorium, basically, for physics. And he came around it, and he leaned up against it, facing us. And then he started to tell us a story. And, you know, it was so weird, because I thought, what is actually going on here? And then he simply started telling us a story about how he grew up in Russia. And then, the story went on for about 4 minutes. I mean, basically, he told us a story every day he taught physics to us that had really, like, nothing to do with physics. He was just sharing his life experience with us as part of his teaching class. And we all thought it was completely bizarre. You know, and I mean, we were kind of basically stunned. He told us this story, and then he went back, you know, walked around the front of the desk, grabbed his big old piece of chalk. He used that really big, thick chalk. It wasn't a small piece. I mean, it looked like it was an inch in diameter. It was a gigantic, thick old piece of chalk. And then he went back to teaching physics. I thought, how odd. But then, in the next class, he did it again. At first, I think a lot of us were a little resistant, and maybe some people, well, just a lot of us also thought it was really strange. And I remember some people that were really into physics thought it was kind of completely a waste of time. And maybe for the first week, we all didn't really know what was going on. And then we had a physics lab, so we had to all come together in small groups and work out these equations and try this stuff out. And then we even talked about it. We're like, what do you think about the storytelling? And this one girl's like, oh, I think it's great. You know, it's really neat. It's a nice little break. And then, you know, there were always pros and cons. But after about 2.5 weeks, pretty much all of the students always looked forward to him putting that chalk down. And we didn't know when it was going to happen. It typically happened in the middle of class, but, you know, he's deep into physics, answering questions, working equations, doing all this high-end physics stuff, I say, but it's physics 101. And then he would put his chalk down, and we would all settle in. You know, this is like the first moment I realized how powerful this was. We all settled in as students, like a child getting ready to listen to their parents read them a story. And we were just like, oh, we were just like little kids, like, oh, yeah, hey, it's story time. Professor Vilches at the University of Washington. And then I talked to other people on campus who heard that I was taking this class, and they're like, oh, yeah, he loves to tell stories, told great stories, you know. And then we even started exchanging stories. Oh, did he tell you this story? Do you remember this story? Did you do this story? And then I just realized this guy is, like, well known as a storyteller. but professionally was a physics teacher. Then I started to notice I was just super excited to go to physics class in a very strange way. I'm not a big fan of physics. I struggle with physics. I'm a very creative person, and I learned a lot in understanding the process by which physics works. But it certainly was a challenge, but I loved my physics class. This guy actually helped me love physics. And part of it is that I looked so forward to go to his class. I looked so forward to hear his stories. And we all just, like I just said, it was all just story time. It looked like, felt like metaphorically just one big bed. And there we are, a 700-headed child listening to a physics teacher, Daddy Physics, tell us a story. And he told us so many funny, deep, painful, just things that we as Americans don't even understand about just growing up in Russia and just the challenges that he dealt with and his relationships and going to college and finding work out of college and defecting to America and coming to America. And a lot of his stories, the whole overtone was that we just don't really know how good we have it in the United States. Now, I just spent 2.5 weeks in Tibet on a medical mission for OnePath. I got a podcast not that long ago just on that, and I got more of them coming. So I have a much deeper understanding of that. But this guy was telling us these stories 20 years ago. I graduated in 1998. So, you know, and I still think about him today, and I still think about the qualities of his short stories, which had a little moral to them, that had really good humor, and at times were very painful to listen to because he struggled a lot growing up in Russia when he did. I don't even really know when that was, but it just was such an amazing experience to have access to him telling us a story every day. This wasn't a speech class. This wasn't creative writing or communications or anything like that. It was Physics 101. And he just seemed like a somewhat average guy. You know, and then sometimes he'd tell us a story and he's trying to say distance and he would stutter on distance. And it really, I could feel that we all were trying to help him get over that little distance with his accent. It was just really, it was really truly amazing. And now that I live my life as a professional speaker, I often look back at this time frame. And people ask me about my love of speaking and why I do it and all of that. But when I really think about it, when people really want to know where I acquired my love of storytelling, my appreciation of storytelling, it always goes back to my college physics teacher. Physics 101 developed my love of storytelling. You never know where you will be inspired. You never know who will change your life. We never know what conditions come together to create these great experiences or moments that just shift our trajectory and help create a certain pathway in life. And sometimes we don't know it till later. You know, later on, at the time, I didn't really think about it that much other than the fact that we all loved it. But now that I look back on it, it is a critical aspect in my storytelling existence, my storytelling career. My quality of storytelling has a lot to do with how he told stories. They were short. They had a very beneficial story, meaning behind them, story behind them. It was designed to benefit people, and they were very humorous and very enlightening, very deep, very humorous. And he was just authentic. He just was who he was. And he had something very beautiful to share with everyone. And so he did it. And it had a huge impact on me, and it still does to this day. I think about just those kind of stories and the quality of them and how it affected us, because all across campus, people talked about him. And I'll tell you what, for that one quarter at the University of Washington, We were all captivated. And towards the end of the semester, towards the end of the quarter, we were all kind of sad, oh, we're not going to get any more stories. And we were all kind of bummed that it was all coming to an end. Story time is over. Aww. Oh, that's a real thing. You know, whether you're 9, 19, 29, or 49, who doesn't love a good story? Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.